we left off last week, we were talking about the shiur of Talmud Torah, just how much a person is obligated in terms of minimal amount of learning. So we saw there was a machlekes at Tanayim about just the very nature of the ma'isa mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because the Navi does refer to Talmud Torah as v'gisa yom v'layla, so either yom v'layla refers to literally the entire day, the entire night, or yom v'layla refers to a specific time during the day or the night. And then the Gemara quoted the third possibility that was even the most lenient of all, that yom v'layla means just a little bit b'yom, a little bit b'layla. But even that doesn't have to be a special independent learning. Even Kriyashma can double as that. So that we were a little bit weary about, that we quoted the Shit the Rambam, with the whole beer in the Rambam, where the Rambam seemed to accept the idea that yom v'layla is okay, a little bit of yom v'layla is all right. But in terms of applying to the Kriyashma, that was a little bit more questionable. So again, so it wasn't clear exactly la halacha what exactly the bare minimum amount of Talmud Torah is. But to some degree, there is some kind of a fulfilling in the midst of Talmud Torah with a very, very small amount. So we pointed out from the Rishonim last week that the Ran already formulated this, and Farm Pshutim, that when we speak about a person fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah with a very small amount, it doesn't mean that's all there is. Very no more. It means that's all you have to do and call it a day. I mean, you have Ma'amar Chazal, abundant Ma'amar Chazal, obviously telling us to the contrary. So what that means is that there are two really different parts of Talmud Torah. There's the Ma'isa mitzvah of Talmud Torah, like there's a Ma'isa mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, and it's a little bit of Shofar. So the Ma'isa mitzvah has a certain very, very small amount to it, at the bare minimum. Same way, if you eat a kezayis, so you would technically eat a yaitzeh. So if you learned a little bit yom v'layla, you would technically eat a yaitzeh. Then there's a second mitzvah, which is really the all-encompassing mitzvah, yedias ha-Torah, which is yedias kol ha-Torah kula. That's what the Rambam says. That's why you can't forget anything you learn, because every time you forget, so that detracts from yedias ha-Torah. So yedias ha-Torah is a lifelong commitment, and that, of course, requires, to the best of a person's ability, whenever a person has free time, whenever a person is able to try to advance his knowledge of Torah. That, for sure, is a din min ha-Torah that's binding upon each and every one of us to try. It's hard to call that a shir b'davar. The shir b'davar is yedias kol ha-Torah kula. So if and when a person reaches that point, then he can say he was yetz in the mitzvah, quote-unquote, of every yedias kol ha-Torah kula. So there are different components of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But going back to what we said at the beginning, that there is a certain minimum amount, namely that even a Perek Echad Shachas, Perek Echad Arvis, or Kriyash B'Shachas Arvis, does suffice for the mitzvah, at least for the ma'aseh mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gra writes in his Perush and Mishnayis, in the beginning of his Peah, on the Mishnah of El B'Mish, and I'm sure the Mishnah we say in the morning. So the Gra writes that when we speak about the minimum amount of Talmud Torah, so even though Chazal speak about it in terms of a Perek Echad or the extension to Kriyash B'Shachas Arvis, Gro said that even less than a parak would also be good. He said, what's the absolute bare minimum? So tevachas means not one word. It means the smallest degree of Torah is also considered to be a chelik of Torah. It doesn't say in the Chumash, Vagisa go parak echad is a meaningless thing. That's not a halachic category. It means any mashu b'dvar Torah is considered to be a fulfillment min haTorah of b'shachu of kumecha of yom v'layla. Then the Gro goes further and he says that this halacha, that a person fulfills the bare minimum of Talmud Torah with just a little bit, a Perek Echad or a Teva Hachas, so we usually view this as almost like a kula in Talmud Torah. That this shows you that, well, you can get away with almost nothing for the mitzvah of limud proper. It says the Gra, well, every kula has a chumrah. From the fact that you could be yotze Talmud Torah, your bare bones, the minimum chiv of Talmud Torah, with the Perek Echad, with the Teva Hachas, what that shows us is that every parak, every pasuk, every teva, every word of Torah is chal on it, Hashem Talmud Torah. If you could use that to fulfill your obligations, then that shows that you're involving yourself in a ma'isa mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So says the Gra, that becomes, in a sense, a tremendous chumrah, not in a negative sense, in a very positive sense. Says the Gra, what that means is that every word of Torah is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So let's say a person chooses not to fulfill his bare-bone obligation with one word. He actually continues like he's supposed to, and he learns a little bit more. So instead of reading one pasuk of Chumash every morning, he reads two pasukim. So says the Gra. So every pasuk, or even less than every word, every teva, is a separate entity of Talmud Torah, and each one is considered to be a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So the more that a person learns, a perek echad, learns a parshach, he learns a daf echad, he comes to a shir, he sits and learns for 3 hours in the morning. So each and every word is considered to be a ma'isa mitzvah b'fnei atzma. So says, if you want to start to build up your cheshbon, you want to start to build up your mitzvahs, that's a good way to go. Says, Talmud Torah is a very good investment in terms of mitzvahs, because other mitzvahs, you spend a lot of money on a box of matzahs, and you spend 5 minutes eating one kezayis of matzah. I don't want to minimize the mitzvah of chilas matzah, but at the end of the day, it's only one mitzvah. Whereas just now, see, we've already been at the shir. Okay, if it would have come in time, we'd have been a little bit more, but we've at least 7 minutes or so of Talmud Torah. So it depends how fast I talk. So if I talk, maybe it's an incentive for to talk a little bit faster. So every word of Torah we're discussing the different shittas and the Machlokes HaTanaim and the Rambam and now the Gros Pshat. It's everything that we're involved with, every second, every word is Tofes Adonai, a separate, independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Maybe that makes a lot of sense what the Gemara says, that one of the first questions that the Kadosh Baruch Hu asks us in Yachamev Yasim Shana is Kavat Itim LaTorah. Did you spend time learning Torah? Because the Mishnah says in Birgayov, Sakolfi Rova Ma'aseh, that a person's din v'cheshbon in Shemaim is a cheshbon of mitzvahs. That's it. It's a cheshbon of mitzvahs, a cheshbon of aveiros. That's the Yom HaDin. That's the Hakol called the Yom HaDin. The Rambam writes in the Cheshuvah that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what the cheshbon is. You can have one mitzvah that knocks off a lot of averas. You can have one avera that never can knock off a lot of mitzvahs. So it's not just a score sheet, tally sheet. Okay, you put a tefillah this morning, you worshipped an idol today. You wore tzitzis and you killed someone. That's not the way it works. It means you have some mitzvahs that are really, really great and some averas are really, really great. I remember when I was a little boy, so I was about 8, 9 years old. So somebody must have taught me this in school or somewhere that you have to keep a cheshbon nefesh as to how many mitzvahs you would have, how many averus you do. So I thought, okay, that sounds like a pretty good project. But the problem was, I was 8 years, I had no idea what a mitzvah was. Was it a mitzvah? So I remember, I guess I must have thought to myself, well, I'm making a bracha, that sounds like a mitzvah. Okay, good. So that counts as a mitzvah. So then, I got into a fight with a kid in school, okay, that was an averus. For a couple of days, I was keeping track. I remember very, very distinctly, there was one day I wasn't doing so well. One day, must have gotten into trouble too much in school that day. So remember, I didn't like the way the number looked. So as a little boy, I was under the impression that kissing the mezuzah when you walk in and out of the room is a mitzvah. I'm not saying I couldn't tell you that's a mitzvah deraisa, a mitzvah deraman, whatever, minik toif, but I guess at the time I thought it was a mitzvah. So I was searching for mitzvahs. I didn't want to go to sleep that night before I had a couple of experiences. I remember walking, I decided to walk in and out of the room about 50 times. Every time I touched it, it was a, so that must have knocked off all the times that I beat up my friend in school that day. So that's not the way mitzvah averus work. So the Rambam writes the Cheshuva, but Afal Picheta Kol Lefi Rov HaMaaseh. Everything does work Lefi Rov HaMaaseh. So now it makes a lot of sense that the Gemara is being medayik for us, that each word of Talmud Torah is a separate mitzvah, so that we understand why Kavati Talmud Torah is such a major question. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us, Le'asad Lavo, how many mitzvahs we did? So one of the first questions is, how much Torah did you learn? If you learned a lot of Torah, then you got a lot of mitzvahs. If you learned so much Torah, then you know as many mitzvahs. So that puts into perspective, so to speak, the Shia of Talmud Torah. So what the Gemara is telling us is that when we say that a person can almost get away with a very small amount of Torah by Yom HaLaila, so that's not minimizing the significance of Torah. Forget that's maximizing the significance of Torah. Because each word of Talmud Torah is so chashuv that it's a mitzvah in and of itself, therefore it could serve as the vehicle to fulfill your chiyuv daily. On the other hand, it could also serve as a vehicle for the greatest investment in terms of mitzvah performance. But then the Gemara goes further in his Perashat Mishnayos in Peah, and he says it's based on this idea that Talmud Torah has almost two sides of the same coin, that you could be yotze with a little, but yet the more you learn, each word counts as a mitzvah in and of itself. So this can begin to, with this we can begin to understand the rule that appears in the hierarchy in terms of Talmud Torah, and specifically the question: what happens when you have a conflict between time to learn and time to do mitzvah? So we talked a little bit about this when we spoke about the sugya of getting married versus learning. So we know there's a general rule that permeates all mitzvahs called Isaac b'mitzvah patur min mitzvah. If I'm doing mitzvah X and then calls about doing mitzvah X, I'm not mechuyev to stop to do mitzvah Y. There is a machlekes in Rishonim about is it, if I'm able to do both, let's say I'm in the middle of doing X, and it's very easy for me to do both. So Tosfos writes, so then you don't have a Ptur by Sikvi Mitzvah. Sikvi Mitzvah only means when it's E'ef Shalakayim Shnehem. And the Ran says, no, the Ran says that even if it's E'ef Shalakayim Shnehem, you could mamish do both. Doesn't matter, I'm doing mitzvah, it's not my problem. The next thing is not my problem right now. I'll come back in an hour from now, worry about the next mitzvah. And if I can't do the next mitzvah later, so sorry, the mitzvah is lost, it's not my problem. I see if it's a part of the mitzvah. But the Ran concedes that if it's so easy that it doesn't detract in the slightest, then it's the right thing to do. But not mechuyev, you're not mechuyev at all. Not min Torah, not min Darabanan. It's a bit of chassidus, but you're not mechuyev to stop doing a mitzvah. So the general rule of mitzvah says is that oisim mitzvah potuv in a mitzvah. So the mitzvah that this happens not to apply to is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So a person's in the middle of saying a shir, and it comes time to eat matzah. So the din is that I have to stop learning, I have to go eat the matzah, and come back to the learning. What is the rule when it comes to Talmud Torah? So the Gemara has a whole set of different rules when it comes to Talmud Torah. If a person's in the middle of learning and a mitzvah comes their way, so the regular rules of oisim mitzvah break down. The reason being is that presumably the pashas advarim is that if you apply the rule of icing for mitzvah upon the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, a guy can theoretically never do any mitzvahs because Talmud Torah can take you up the whole day. So you'll sit and learn all day and never do mitzvahs. That's not what the Rebbe wants of us. He wants us to do both. But again, so the general rule of icing for mitzvah doesn't apply. What are the rules vis-a-vis Talmud Torah? So the Gemara says the rules are as follows, that it depends what kind of mitzvah comes your way. If it's a mitzvah, she'i'afshah, la'asos ade'acherim, it's a type of a mitzvah that cannot be done by anybody else. Let's say it comes time to eat the matzah. You can't eat matzah for me. You have to eat matzah for yourself, so I have to eat the matzah myself. Let's say it comes time for me to check a loop, comes time for me to hear the shofar, so I can't appoint you to do those mitzvahs for me. So I have to close my Gemara, go do the mitzvah, then come back. That's a mitzvah she'ef shel asas adecher. What if it's a mitzvah she'ef shel asas adecher? Let's say, for example, there's some big tzedakah campaign that has to be done. People have to knock on doors to collect money for tzedakah. And I'm in the middle of learning, and I'm not necessarily more talented than you are in terms of doing this. I could do it, you could do it, and anyone could do the same job. So I'm sitting and learning, and you're not learning. So then the din is, I should say in a very respectful way, that listen, I'm learning right now. It's the mitzvah is efshar lasos decher. The mitzvah will be done by somebody else just as well. Let somebody else do that other wonderful mitzvah. Let's say there's nobody else to do it. Nobody else wants to do it. Or nobody else is as talented as I am. I'm a better fundraiser than you. So if I do it, I'll get more money for tzedakah. So let's talk about efshar lasos decher, that it can't be done properly. I do someone else. Then I close my gemara and I go out and I raise funds for tzedakah. And then I come back when I'm done. So when it comes to Torah and other mitzvahs, so we don't go with the regular criteria of basic mitzvah, rather we go with the criteria of efshar adechem or efshar. So says the Gra, what's the nature of this halacha? Well, what's a strange thing is the chiddush we should make up our minds: is Talmud Torah greater than mitzvahs, or is mitzvahs greater than Talmud Torah? If Talmud Torah is greater, so then keep on learning and forget the mitzvahs. If mitzvahs are greater, so then close your gemara all the time and do the mitzvah. So what kind of a compromise is almost that Talmud Torah versus mitzvahs? It depends whether the mitzvah is going to be mekuyem asei de'achayim or not. So the Gra says that this is the answer. It's all based on our sugya in terms of what the essence of the shir of Talmud Torah is. When it comes to Talmud Torah, so we have two realities that are pulling at us, tugging at us, which are both true. One reality is that every single word of Torah is a mitzvah in and of itself. So if you look at it from that vantage point, that every single word of Torah is a mitzvah in and of itself, it's a simple investment policy. If I have a chance to do a mitzvah or have a chance to learn, so why in the world would I opt to do a mitzvah when I get only one mitzvah? I consider learn and get thousands, hundreds of thousands of mitzvahs for the same price. So in terms of the pure hierarchy of investment, in terms of more quantitatively, more mitzvahs, so Talmud Torah sounds like a better investment than Shmiras HaMitzvahs mitzvahs. But it's a problem, says the Gra. The problem is that Talmud Torah, if I don't learn the whole day, I just learned a small amount, I wasn't mevatel the mitzvah. I didn't lose the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because let's not forget, Vagis v'yom v'la we paskin, I feel the perek echad shachars, perek echad arvis, I feel the kriyashma, I feel the teva achas. Even the smallest amount is considered to be tofes, it's chalon v'shem Talmud Torah. So if I don't learn, don't quote this out of context, if I don't learn, it's not so terrible, so that's the gross being. If I don't learn, it's not so terrible, because if I don't learn the whole day, but I learned a little bit, so at least I was quote-unquote yaitzei Talmud Torah, I wasn't mevatel Torah. Whereas if the Leila Seder goes by and I don't eat matzah, it's not just that I didn't fulfill the mitzvah. I was mevatel the mitzvah. That's a negative thing. Let's say the whole day of Rosh Hashanah goes by, I don't need the shofar. I was mevatel the mitzvah. So comes the Gemara and says, now we have these two forces almost pulling at us, tugging at us. On the one hand, Talmud Torah is a greater investment than Shabbos mitzvahs. Just quantitatively, it's so much more to it. On the other hand, Talmud Torah has that aspect to it that you never really mevatel as a mitzvah unless you mamish the whole day, the whole night goes by with nothing. That's not a bittel of the mitzvah. But as long as I learn for a minute, so I'm not mevatel as a mitzvah of Torah, whereas if I don't hear the shofar, don't eat the matzah, don't shake the lulav, I'm mevatel as a mitzvah. So it says the Gra, it's those two aspects of Talmud Torah. On the one hand, it's greater than mitzvahs. On the other hand, it doesn't have that element of bittel to it that mitzvahs does. That's what it's those two principles that explain this seeming discrepancy in terms of what you do when. A person's in the middle of learning. So he's already learning for the last hour. If he would close his gemara now and do nothing, you can't say he was mevatel the mitzvah of Gisri on Valayla. Okay, he's mevatel Torah. He's not taking the opportunity to learn more and more and more. That's true. So he's detracting from his ability of ideas called Torah Kulo down the line. That's all true. So we're not advocating not learning. But on the other hand, if a person already learned this morning, already learned tonight, so you can't call him a mevatel as a mitzvah anymore. We want him to continue because he's getting more and more, but he's not a mevatel as a mitzvah. For such a person, if the shofar comes his way, and we're going to say to him, no, keep on learning and forget the shofar. What we're telling him to do is be mevatel mitzvah. We're telling him learn Torah, but at the same time be mevatel mitzvah. You can't do that. You can't be mevatel mitzvah. You can't nullify. You can't neglect the mitzvah. So Nebuch, he has no choice. He has to close his gemara and lose out all those extra kiyumim of Talmud Torah, the Leis Breira, because the other choice would entail being mevatel mitzvah, which he has no wishes to do. So comes the Gemara and says that if you're in the middle of learning and a mitzvah, that if you don't stop learning, is not going to get done. It's Eif Shai De'Acherim. So the mitzvah will become Mivutelis. So the shofar won't get hurt. The matzah won't get eaten. The tzedakah won't be collected properly if you don't do it. So then now the person's coming with the following shot. Rabbi, what do I do? Should I learn Torah constantly? Or should I, and thereby Mivatel mitzvahs? Or should I close my Gemara and not be Mivatel mitzvahs? So the answer is, you can't be mevatel mitzvah. You have no right, you have no rishus to be mevatel mitzvah. Close your gemara and don't be mevatel mitzvah. But what if the mitzvah will not become a mevutelis anyway? Why won't it become a mevutelis? Because it's the nature, it's a type of mitzvah that can be done by somebody else. So if somebody has to raise the money for tzedakah, and my next door neighbor could do just as good a job as I am, and he's not really doing anything so constructive right now, so the mitzvah will get done. So I won't be labeled as a mevatelis mitzvah. Let's say, like we gave some of the examples when we spoke about getting married, we said that a person is not mevatel in the midst of having children. He'll have the children in a few years from now. So one can argue that maybe that's not really considered to be a full bittel of the mitzvah. So whenever you have a situation where I have a choice to learn or have a choice to do mitzvahs, but bittel is not part of the chashrin. Bittel is not even on the radar screen because the mitzvah will get done either by somebody else or by myself at a later point. So once we're out of the realm of bittel ha-mitzvah, now we're just asking a different mathematical question, namely, well, which mitzvah is greater? If no bittel will ever take place anyway, says the Gra, it's just a question of this kiyum versus that kiyum, so then go for the better deal, go for the better investment. Which is a better investment? Talmud Torah is always a better investment because Talmud Torah has more to it than any particular given mitzvah. So says the Gra, it's dafka because Talmud Torah has the chumra and the kula. It's dafka because each word of Talmud Torah is a mitzvah that enables us to say that once you learned a little bit, it's not a bittel, which also enables us to say the more you learn, the more the better. It's dafka, those two almost contradictory aspects of Talmud Torah that explain very nicely why we find that the rules of Isaac B'mitzvah are different, and the key of the rules of Isaac B'mitzvah vis-a-vis Talmud Torah is that under no circumstances can you be mevatel a mitzvah. Once we're not in the realm of being mevatel a mitzvah, it's just a question of, should I go for this mitzvah, go for that mitzvah? And you always opt for Talmud Torah, because Talmud Torah is the greater of the two, because each and every word is considered to be a kiyum mitzvah. So what we're doing now, we've been talking about the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah that applies everything you learn throughout the year under all circumstances. So I thought we'd use this as a little bit of a, since we really finished this sugya proper, so for the remaining couple of minutes and into tomorrow, we'll try to go one step further and take, since we are learning all the sugyas of Talmud Torah, so talk about specifically how the mitzvah of Talmud Torah plays out at certain times of the year, and obviously we're going to focus primarily on the mitzvah of Pesach, how Talmud Torah plays out specifically as it relates to the Yom Tov of Pesach. So we find that when it comes to a regular mitzvah of Talmud Torah, a person could choose to learn whatever they want. One guy wants to learn Yevamos, another guy's learning Masech Shabbos, one guy's learning Bracha, there's no difference in terms of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, whether you're learning Mikra, you're learning Mishnah, learning Gemara. There may be a certain program that Chazal are recommending. There may be certain hierarchy in terms of what's better for a person to focus on at given time, different times of his life. As we spoke about, sometimes you should split and sometimes you go dafka for Gemara. Again, there are nuances in that. But in terms of the bare mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the basic mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there's no topic that has to be relearned per se. Nevertheless, we do find at certain times of the year that Chazal do speak about the significance of learning specific topics, and one of those specific times of the year are the time preceding Pesach. So Chazal speak about Shol and Vidarshim, it's the Pesach, on a Pesach Shloshim Yom. The person is supposed to be, ask questions and be Doresh and learn through the Sugyas of Vilchus Pesach 30 days before Yom Tov. The Gemara quotes a Psukim to this. The Gemara says that that Moshe Rabbeinu was already teaching Klal Yisrael about Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon. The Pesach in Parshas Baloscha, he was already teaching, already instructing them what to do in a month from now, you know, on Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, from here we derive that you have to discuss, you can't wait until the last second to learn the halachas. You have to learn the halachas already 30 days before. So the Gemara has that statement by Pesach. The Gemara Dafka doesn't have it by the Yad Yom Tovim. That was a machlokes in the poskim. Does that mean it doesn't exist by the other Yom Tovim? Or does it mean, no, it's all included, it's all the same thing. So there are those who argue that it's the same. You have to learn Hukas Sukkos 30 days before Sukkos, and Hukas Shavuos 30 days before Shavuos. Every Yom Tov, you have to be involved in the limud of that particular Yom Tov 30 days before. The Rashi writes in one place that the Gemara speaks about the Yarchi Kala, the days of the Gemara. So they used to have these 2 months a year where everybody would take off from work, all the farmers would come, it was slow season in the farms, and they would all come to the Bismarck, come to the yeshivas, and they would be involved themselves in tremendous extra learning during those 2 months a year. So Rashi writes that one of the reasons for those Yarchi Kala was Dafka before the Yom Tov of Tishrei, and Dafka before the Yom Tov of Nisan, before Pesach, and part of the mitzvah was, as the Rashi was, Sholem Adarshim, the Pesach Shloshim Yom. So you see, the Rashi applies that rule of Shloshim Yom to Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, to Sukkot as well. And others say no. Others say that it's something that's unique to Pesach. Why is Pesach different? Is there so many more halachas? Pesach is 120 blot. Pesach Sukkot is much less. It's going to take you much less time. So whatever time you need to learn Hukas Sukkot, you learn Hukas Sukkot. But Hukas Pesach is going to take you so long. Therefore, you need the Shloshim Yom. So that's a shaila, whether you formally need Shloshim Yom or not. What's the nature of this din of learning Shloshim Yom before the Chag? So the Chor, this is a throwback to what we spoke about in the past, about the nature of Talmud Torah. We quoted from the Beis HaLevi that there are two Chalokim of Talmud Torah. There's Talmud Torah as a Hechsher Mitzvah. There's Talmud Torah as a preparation to enable you to do other mitzvahs. Moshe Lamad Avadoma, the Beis HaLevi said, you have to eat matzah Pesach night. So if you're going to wake up by the Seder and say, I don't have any matzahs, you're going to be in trouble. So you have to either bake your matzahs, buy matzahs, get your matzahs somehow before. So all mitzvahs, not only do you deal with the mitzvah b'shaito, b'zman b'shaito, there are certain necessary prerequisites, certain necessary hechsher mitzvahs that have to take place. So the Beis HaLevi says that Talmud Torah is one of those hechsherim also, that if you don't learn Hilchos Shabbos, so you're going to come Friday night, and you're not going to know what to do. You're going to come Shabbos, well, you know, can you put the children on Apache? You're not going to know what's flying. So you obviously have to learn Hilchos Shabbos the week before to figure out how to keep Shabbos properly. Chahena v'chahena, all mitzvahs are Torah. You're not going to know what to do if you don't have the hechsher mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But they said, Levi said, is that Talmud Torah is not just a hechsher mitzvah. It's just a hechsher mitzvah. That's cheapening Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is also a mitzvah in and of itself. Therefore, if a person takes the attitude, we're only going to learn brachas and Shabbos. We're not going to learn uktzim, we're not going to learn zvachim, we're not going to learn yevamim. All the parts of Torah that don't speak to us, that's not right. That's only emphasizing one aspect of Torah and minimizing the second aspect, the aspect of Talmud Torah as an end in of itself. But l'chora, this din that we find in the Gemara, Sholom Adarshan Shleshim Yom Kanim Pesach, that's much more in sync with the first part. It means that the goal of Sholom Adarshan is to know what to do. So here, Chazal Kaveh, here, the Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that it's not enough just to wait till 3 days before Pesach to start to learn of his basic. You got to start preparing a lot before because there's so many halachas to learn. But that Sholom Adarshan is more of a key of the Hechemitz of Talmud Torah, the Pashas, than the other half. This din of Sholem V'Darshan, Pesach Shloshim Yom, so there is a Machlekes of Rishonim, what exactly those words mean. So many of the Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim, interpreted the Gemara Kapshuto, that he's supposed to start to be Shalom, he's supposed to start to be Derish, supposed to get the ball rolling, that it's that's the time to start to learn Chos Pesach. So there are some Rishonim, the Ran quotes the possibility that maybe we misunderstood what Sholem V'Darshan means. Mainly what Sholem V'Darshan means that in fact, some Rishonim had the gears of Sholem because of Pesach. They didn't have the word Darshan. So the Ran says, maybe what Sholem means is like this. Are you mechuyev to learn because of Pesach, a week before Pesach? No, you're not mechuyev. You don't want to. Whatever little bits you have to know what to do, you'll figure it out closer to Pesach. So what does it mean, Sholem because of Pesach? So the Ran writes that if a Talmud asks you a question because of Pesach, within 30 days, it's an appropriate question. It's not an inappropriate question. My nafka can mean appropriate, inappropriate. The Gemara says, let's say I'm in the middle of saying a shiur, so we're learning Maseches Kedushin. So someone's going to raise their hand and say, Rabbi, I want to ask you a shaila about a sugyan bav metziah. So I'm not giving a shiur bav metziah now. I'm giving a shiur in Kedushin right now. So I'm allowed to brush them off. Listen, you have to ESB next year. Next year we're learning bav metziah. Right now we're learning Kedushin. So I should or should not do that as a rabbi. It's a different story, but I'm not mechuyev to answer. First, there's a shol shaloki inyan. I'm not mechuyev to answer his question. Let's say a person raises his hand. I'm in the middle of saying shiur and Kedushin. And a person raises his hand and says, Rabbi, does a Talmud need ashkach for Pesach? So my initial reaction would be, yes, give me a question now. I'm in the middle of saying a shiur Kedushin. That's a shaloki inyan. So the Ran writes, that's not called shaloki inyan. Since it's within the time frame of shaloshim yom, that's considered to be shaloki inyan. Whether it's a good idea for him to interrupt regular shiur asking about the Talmud is a different story. But in terms of being I can't accuse the person of being a shaloki inyan. And at the right time, I have to address this question. I can't push him back and say, come back next year. Next year. He has to know next week. So that's considered to be a shaloki inyan. So according to the Ran, according to this interpretation of the Ran, it takes a lot of the oomph out of the din of Sholem V'Darshan. Sholem V'Darshan is not a chiyuv. Sholem V'Darshan is almost a reshus. It means it's okay what he's doing. It's all right. It's not bad what he's doing. It's not inappropriate what he's doing. And I have to address it in an appropriate manner. But many of the Rishonim disagree, and we usually assume not the way there's a real chiyuv. It's supposed to be Sholem, it's supposed to be Darish, Shloshim Yom before Chag. So we'll have to see, hopefully, mention tomorrow, how that plays out in terms of the general mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the din of Sholem V'Darshan, what exactly is, how that is, and then to see some of the more specifics so we get closer to the Yom Tov Pesach.